Appreciate this morning, this opportunity to be able to just encourage us. And again, I'd be dismissed if I didn't continue to thank this church for their faithfulness. I was telling Becky that 20 years ago, FCA was kind of, we were just kind of getting going and just thinking about, you know, some support and things that God was doing in our lives. And I remember Pastor Bob and Pastor Jamie, we met with them, and we just asked them if they would just support the ministry of FCA. And of course, Bob says, absolutely, we want to support what you're doing. And this year, we're celebrating 20 years that this church has not only been a part of FCA, but imagine just all the influence and the impact that this church has had in Southern Arizona, reaching high school, reaching coaches and athletes for the glory of God. So I want to thank this church personally, me and Marjorie, you have been so faithful to support the call that God had on our lives back in 1997, and we're still doing what God has called us to do. So I appreciate this church so much. So again, give yourselves a hand for just what this church is doing. Thank you so much. So this morning, I want to just share, there's a, again, you're going to say, well, Richard always talks about sports. Well, that's all I've been doing for 25 years, so I'm sorry about that. But you know, something happened a few years back that really kind of just triggered a conviction in my own life, is that I think about this. You know, we came to Christ in March 1st of 1987 after Alex led my brother to Christ and my brother led me and Margie to Christ about 6 months later. And it's crazy to think about all the different seasons of our walk with God, that God has kind of just placed specific people in different times into our lives. And so this morning, I want to just encourage us and ask ourselves, is when was the last time that God changed the lineup in your life, right? And you say, well, what does that even mean? Because I think a lot of times when we surround ourselves with people, it's usually the people that we want to be around. And there is a lot of times, you know, and I shared that something happened a couple years ago that Art and Jan had asked us to join their group. And me and Margie weren't looking to be part of a group. I mean, we're in ministry all the time. We're all around people all the time. But Art and Jan asked us, hey, would you join our group? I'm like, what does it even look like, right? Because I mean, we surround ourselves with some awesome people, but I'm like, and I just felt in my spirit like, yeah, you need to join this group. And it was, so we started going to this group on Tuesday nights, and, you know, we started thinking about, man, now 2 years, almost 3 years later, it is one of our favorite things that we do is hang out with people who are so different than we are. Their walk is at a different stage than we are. And I think about this for us, is how many times have you changed the lineup in your own lives? Or better, when is it the last time that God says, you know what, you've been around the same people for a long time and they're not bad people. But I think there are some times in our life that God says, you know what, you need some, depending on the season that you're in, you need some different people in your life that are gonna walk you to the journey you're in, right? So again, this morning, I really feel like I wanna just share four teammates that we need in our team, because I think what happens is one of the most dangerous things that can happen in our lives is that we never change our lineup, or we don't even let God change our lineup. Amen, right? Because we like the people we hang out with. And again, they're not bad people, but I think there are some times that God says, hey, you know what? There is, through this season that you're going through right now in your life, I need to put people around you that are going to understand what you're navigating and what you're going through, right? Because we all, again, different seasons, and, you know, 3 years ago was different than we are today. And I just feel like God just wants to remind us this morning is that, man, there are some people in our lives that we love, but they're not producing fruit in our lives anymore. And what does that look like, right? Because, again, if I'm hanging out with the same people and they're not impacting me and my walk with God the way they used to, why are they still in my starting five? Again, I'm not going to kick people out of my life, but there are some times where God says, hey, you need to surround yourselves with these people right now because of the season that you're in right now. So I want to just give us a couple of examples this morning, and we're going to read out of Acts chapter 4, verse 36, and I'm going to talk about a man who was given a nickname. And I want you to even ask yourself, do we have these kinds of people in our lives? In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles, nicknamed Barnabas. Nicknamed Barnabas. It says, which means sons of encouragement. I mean, think about this. We all have nicknames, right? But when was the last time you were given a nickname that kind of described who you were in someone's life. Can you imagine saying, and really ask this question, like you can probably think about a Barnabas right now in your life, right? Someone is just, man, you love hanging out with them. They always make you better. They always make you feel better. And when they leave, you're like, man, I'm so glad I was with him today or with her today because I feel so encouraged. And that scripture goes on to say, it says, he was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. And you think about this is that, you know, I'm going to read Acts 11 because it describes him a little bit more. It says, when he arrived and he saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many were brought to the Lord. And so think about this, describing Barnabas. Do you have a Barnabas in your life? And if not, why not? Why would you not have a Barnabas? Because I think a lot of times through life, through our journey, when life isn't going the way we thought it'd go, is that, man, I wish I could hang out with Barnabas right now because I need to be encouraged, right? And even to the flip side, who are you a Barnabas to? Right? Because we all know that we've all experienced different things in our life. And sometimes God's just saying, you know what? Go encourage them because they're going through what you've already been through, right? Because we've experienced different chapters in our lives. And I believe so many times that God brings us a Barnabas, but he also wants to use you and I as a Barnabas, right? Again, I don't want to be nicknamed grumpy because I'm never happy. But think about this, being nicknamed Barnabas because you're an encourager, man, may we become those people that say, you know what, man, I like hanging out with you because you always encourage me. And I think sometimes when we miss out of people and wondering like, man, if God is positioning this Barnabas in your life, why are we keeping him out of our lives? You know, and if you do a study of Barnabas, you think about the characteristics of Barnabas. He was generous. The Bible says that he sold some land and he brought the money to the apostles. Why? Because he was generous. He was kind. He was loving. He was such a good friend. He was a servant. He always invested in other people. And I challenge myself and I challenge us this morning is that, do you have a Barnabas in your life? Someone that's really concerned about what's going on in you. Instead of asking, hey, it's about me, what's going on in your life? Guys, because I think it's important to encourage and really put ourselves in a position and going back to the big picture is like, man, do you have a Barnabas in your starting five? And it's funny because, well, I was going to name my sermon title, who is your starting five, right? In the basketball analogy. And who is in your starting five? And who's changing that lineup? Because I think about this, if I make the lineup, it's always people that are going to be yes people, people that tell me what I want to hear, right? And we don't want to just surround with people that are yes people. We want people that are going to make us better. And I think if God is positioning people to put around you and your walk with God, that God specifically, intentionally puts people around you and starts out by saying, you know what? You need an encourager in your life right now. We all need encouragers in our life. Because, again, we are experiencing in our own personal lives. My sister-in-law has dementia, and she's only 61 years old, and it's been a trying journey in the last couple of years. And sometimes we walk away from seeing her, man, we need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged this morning. And I pray that we can have that Barnabas in our lives. And ask yourself, are we keeping those people out of our lives? Because I know sometimes if I'm going through a tough time, I don't want somebody all jolly and happy because it reminds me like, how come I don't have any joy in my life? Like, what am I missing? And I think sometimes we are, man, pushing away those people that God says, you know what? Right now, I'm bringing a Barnabas to your life. And I pray we all have that Barnabas in our life, whatever that looks like. But don't push people out of your life if God is positioning them in your life, right? And I pray that you would just take an inventory right now is, do you have that Barnabas in your life? And if not, why not? The second scripture we have is really about Timothy. And I think about this in Philippians chapter 2. This is what it says. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope, this is Paul talking, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely, check this out, who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only about themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself like a son with his father. He has served me with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And you think about a Timothy. And I think about the Timothy, the more I study Timothy, I mean, under Paul's leadership or under Paul's mentorship, Timothy was kind of not new in his faith, but he was in the mid-season of his journey with God. And I think sometimes if you look about a man or a woman that really describes Timothy, so someone that's not always consumed by their own welfare, but they're more consumed about what's going on in your life. How are you handling life? How are you walking this walk that God has called us to walk? And I think that I get this visual of the Bible. There's about six things that describe Timothy. And one of the first things that describe him is that he had a great reputation. I mean, how many people do we hang out with that have a great reputation? Is that, man, you hang out with that person. And it's not to make me look good, but man, when someone has a great reputation, it speaks for itself, right? And Timothy had a great reputation around the followers of Christ because of the way he lived his life. He was always supportive. He was so unselfish, right? He was humble. He was a servant. He was such a hard worker. Whatever Paul needed him to do, guess who he sent? He would send Timothy. And I asked myself, do I have a Timothy in my own life? Someone that's not consumed about, hey, what do I get from Richard? No, what can I do for Richard? What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I build you up? Do we have those people in our lives? And I think we're missing a good opportunity if we've never changed our starting lineup, guys. We are. We're doing a disservice to ourselves, and we're doing a disservice to God if we don't allow him to put the right people around us. And we sang that first song. It talks about, man, surrounding us with the right people, with godly people, right? What is your starting five look like? Visualize what that looks like. Who is that Barnabas? Who is that Timothy? And I think about, for Timothy, he continues to be that one person who continues to guide and walk alongside of you on the road of faith and life. And we all need those people. And even after 37 years since we gave our lives to Christ, we need a Timothy in my life. Because it's so easy to kind of just wander and think that, man, yeah, I've been walking this for a long time. Doesn't matter. We need a Barnabas. We need a Timothy in our lives, guys. We do. And who is that Timothy in your life? Who's building you up? Who's pouring into your life right now? Because I think a lot of times we find this journey with God lonely, don't we? Because God never asked you and I to walk this journey alone. We can't do it alone, right? Not only do we need Jesus Christ in our life, we need people of God who will surround us, who will encourage us, who build us up. And do we have those people? And I know a lot of times it's easy to just say, I'm good. And I remember when Art and Jen asked us to be part of this group, I'm like, do we really want to hang out with, you know, other people? Because we're so busy, right? And now, again, we have, you know, a group chat. We're always praying for each other, and they know what's going on in our lives. And I think about even those people in this group. There's six couples. And I think one couple might be younger than us. We might be the youngest couple in the group, which is awesome, right? Because, I mean, I know a couple of them are in their 70s, man. And I think, like, I've never had so much fun hanging out with a group on Tuesday nights with men and women who have walked a lot longer than we have. Guys, we need those people in our lives. And if you don't have those people in your lives, I feel like, man, God wants to encourage us this morning. We need to allow God to put those people in our lives, right? So who's your Barnabas? Who's your Timothy? And our third one is found in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16. And this is what it says. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now you think about this Ruth here. And if there's anybody that we need in our lives right now, it's someone that's always going to have your back. Amen? Someone that you can turn to at any given time, that you know that whatever you're going through, that there's always that one person that's always going to be there for you. Do we have that Ruth in our lives? And you think about the characteristics of Ruth. Man, she was a woman of great loyalty. Can you imagine her saying, man, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your God is going to be my God? I mean, think about the loyalty and the faithfulness of someone that says, you know what? I'm never going to leave you alone. No matter where you go, no matter who your God is, he's going to be my God. And I think a lot of times we need to be that people to someone else. Can someone rely on you and call you at any given moment and say, man, and they know that you're going to be there for them. Not only do we need a Ruth, we need to be a Ruth to so many people right now, guys. And I think the more we experience, you know, the way the world is going, these people are going to be sought out more than ever before right now, right? Would you agree? Is that, man, people are looking for someone who's stable, someone who knows who they are and whose they are. And I think a lot of times we panic because of the decline of our nation. But I honestly, we should be more excited, because the worse this country goes, the greater our God becomes. Because there's people that are looking for stability, people who are not panicking because of the decline of the world. I mean, if you look at Scripture, the Bible says it's going to get better in the end days. Not according to this word, right? And we expect the world to get better. If you look at in the end times, what does the Bible say? People will be lovers of what? Of themselves. People aren't going to become godlier in this world. The church is going to get godlier, and the church is going to be needed more now than ever before. And that's why we should be excited to be the body of Christ. We should be excited to be part of the kingdom of God, that we're not part of this world. And I know it's exciting to think about this, that, man, your neighbors are going to start asking, man, why are you so different? Why are you not panicking? Why are you so encouraging in these dark times? Why are you building me up in these times? And why is it that I can always rely on you when I can't rely on anybody else or anything else? And you think about Ruth, man. I can imagine having that person in our lives where we say, man, I know who I can turn to at any given moment. Do you have that person in your life? And are you that person in your life? And I love the story. And you guys, again, if you haven't read the story of Ruth, you need to go back and read it. Because not only does it encourage us that there is people out there that want to be that stable person in your life, that go-to person, that, man, God, who do I go to? You know who to go to. Yes, Jesus Christ is always going to be there. But God specifically stations people and positions people in your life that, man, you can call at any given time because you know they're going to be there. Does that encourage you to think about, do you have a Ruth in your life? And I see that sometimes, and again, I don't want to go into thinking about my son all the time, but I encourage him, is you need a starting five. Because again, I'm your dad, and I love you, and I'll be here as long as I can. But I'm not your starting five. God has purposely created some people in their journey to be in your starting five. And yes, man, you can rely on me, but I want you to have your own team. And I think for us, sometimes we want to be the starting five in our children's life, and it's not wrong. It's a great passion to have. But God didn't call you to be all five people in your son and your daughter's life. We got to let them venture out and allow God to create the starting five in their lives. They have to have their own Barnabas. They have to have their own Timothy. They have to have their own Ruth. But if we teach our kids that way, like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to bring up my child in the ways of the Lord, right? But at some point, we have to let them figure that out and ask themselves, you know what? You need to have your five. And yes, I'm going to be here all the time as long as God has me here. But I can't be your starting five, son. I can't. God has people for you that are in their walking their own journey that God wants to put you and surround you with. So let's finish the last one. Prayer number four, 2 Samuel chapter 12. It says, then Nathan said to David, and again, I didn't want to read the whole story, but I pray you know where I'm going here. Nathan is confronting David about the things that he'd done with Bathsheba. And in Second Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, it says, then Nathan said to David, you are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite and the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. And you think about this, and these are the people we don't want in our lives, right? People who are not afraid to confront you and to tell you, why are you walking that way? Why are you doing this? And they're not, again, they're not just trying to judge you. They're trying to confront you so that we can walk the way that God has wanted us to walk. And I think a lot of times if we're looking at a starting five, that's not the guy we want in our starting five because he's always going to remind you, why? Why are you going that way? Why are you doing that? And I challenge you this morning, do you have a Nathan in your life? And if you don't, why not? We all need that Nathan, man, that's not afraid of what you might think if they confront you, right? Because sometimes we're afraid to confront people because how they're going to respond. But Nathan, being led from God, hey, I need you to go tell David this. We need to be that, you know, kind of like-mindedness of saying, God, you know what? Man, there are some times that we can't be afraid to confront someone if they're going in the wrong direction. Do we have that Nathan? We need that Nathan in our lives, right? Guys, we don't have it all together yet, right? We're still a work in progress. But I know a lot of times that, man, we push those Nathans away because they always want to say something that might offend us. And if something offends you, then it's still too much about you. And it's not about God. And not worrying about how they're going to respond, how they're going to react if I confront them about this. I would rather confront and get someone angry than let them walk the wrong direction. Amen? Guys, we can't be afraid to tell each other, man, if I see a brother or a sister going the wrong way, man, I should have the ability to confront that person. You should have the ability to confront that person. But someone should have the same ability to confront you if you're going in the wrong direction. Because we wander off a little bit, and we just need someone to remind us, hey, you're going off a little bit. You're going off track a little bit. Because they love you and they care about you. Nathan wasn't judging David. He was telling them because God told him, you need to go confront David. And he never hesitated. And sometimes we hesitate to tell someone if they're going in the wrong direction. Why, if we're going to allow someone to come back and get on track with Jesus Christ, why would we hesitate that? And really, I want to just really encourage us this morning, people, is that, man, do we have those starting four in our lives? Who is your Barnabas? Who is your Timothy? Who is your Ruth? And who is your Nathan this morning? And if not, how can we, because I think about, how do we find these people? I mean, do we put an ad on Facebook, hey, I'm looking for these four kind of people? No. And I challenge us this morning because I think about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, right? We know what that verse says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does he say? Everything else shall be added on. What everything else? Everything that you need, right, is found when what? When you seek God. If I'm seeking after the world, who's going to be my starting five? People of the world. But if I'm seeking God's kingdom, Who's going to surround me as I'm following Christ? If I'm looking at Christ, I'm thinking about this. Man, if I'm looking at how God surrounds us with people, it usually happens when I'm pursuing Him. Right? Because, if I'm not seeking after God, I'm not going to run into those kinds of people. And I want to just remind us this morning, are we pursuing God? Because if we're pursuing God, guess who we're going to run into? We're going to run into Barnabas. We're going to run into Timothy. We're going to run into Ruth. And we're going to run into Nathan along the way as we pursue Christ. Isn't that awesome to think about that? And again, so really, however way it falls, maybe it's a challenge for us this morning. Maybe I'm pursuing something. That's why I'm not finding these people in my life. May we pursue God in a way that, man, along the way as we're pursuing Him, as all these people start surrounding us. And, you know, I was Pastor Jack, I listened to the sermon last week, and he was reading out of the book of Acts. And I didn't give him the notes, but it really kind of challenged me that I was studying the last couple of days over this message and thinking about there's only one purpose why God has called you and me, and it's one word, is to pursue. Right, and let me read this scripture for you. It's Acts 17, verse 24. It says, He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. From one man, He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and He determined their boundaries. Verse 27, look at this, how powerful. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any of us. And you think about this, His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him. What does that verse say to you? As His whole purpose was for the nations to seek after God, and after they're seeking God, guess who God is surrounding those people with? With Barnabas, with Timothy, with Ruth, with Nathan's. And there are so many examples in Scripture of how God would bring these people into the lives of into His kingdom. And all of a sudden, you look around and say, man, God has really surrounded me with a lot of amazing godly people as I pursued Him, as I seeked after Him. But again, what does that look like for us personally this morning? If you would just take a few seconds and a few moments to say, what does my starting five look like? Because we know who the first player is on our team, right? And I could have used more examples, but I'm like, you know, if it's just the starting five, my encouragement this morning is, who's making the lineup, you or Jesus Christ? See, because if I'm making the lineup, I'm going to surround myself with people that I like. People that are going to tell me what I want to hear. People will never offend me. People that always say yes to me. That's my starting five. But when God says, you know what? It's time for me to change your lineup. Is that I have people that I've purposely positioned to be that person that you need right now in your life. Because we all have different needs, guys. We all have different situations. We're all facing different conditions in our lives. And it's amazing that after 34 years that God says, you know what? I'm going to change your team around. I'm like, well, I like the team I already had. And we did, right? And usually it was me and Margie, right? And we're like, no, God says, I need to surround you with people who have walked longer than you have. I need to surround you with people who have not walked as long as you have. And how are you playing that role? If someone was putting their starting five, are you in their starting five? and who's in your starting five. What does that look like? And we're missing a good opportunity, people, if we don't have that Barnabas in our lives. And I want to just not only finish up, but thinking about this, but the evaluation of, man, God, you know what? My starting five hasn't changed in a long time. Maybe some of us don't even want a starting five. We're like, hey, me and my wife, we're fine. We don't need anybody in our lives, right? God never called you to run this race alone, guys, never. Nor does he want you to run this race. And I've always, you know, kind of been convicted is that if God has positioned someone to come into your life to play one of those roles and you're not letting him come into your life or be part of your five, you're really kind of stopping someone from allowing them to experience what God had prepared them for. And sometimes people stop us. Man, if God puts a burden in your heart to reach out to someone because they're walking their journey alone, man, I pray that they would allow you to be part of their lives. But again, a lot of times, man, we push more people away than we let people in. And I remember the last time I was here, you guys remember I spoke on the word access, right? Like, who has access to your life that is making you better? But who are you not giving access to that God has created them and positioned them and even prepared them to pour into you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to build you up in the ways God wants to build us up? And I know a lot of times, man, I find myself, just because we've been in ministry for over 25 years, we're not exempt from God bringing people into our lives. We need that Nathan. We need that Timothy. We need that Barnabas, right? We all need those in our lives, guys. We do. But are they on your team right now? And if they're not, why not? Why are they not on your team? What's stopping us from keeping people out if God has called them to be in our lives? And I don't know how many times people say, man, I just feel like this walk with God is lonely. It is if you allow it to. If you don't let people in, it's going to be a lonely journey. But if you just visualize the kingdom of God and all the people on our team in the kingdom of God, that how many people want to have been called to play a role in your life and in my life? But if we've closed the door from God, bringing people, new people into our lives, you know, because we all kind of look at around and say, okay, what kind of people do I want in my life? And we write, kind of describe what kind of people, and God says, you don't need those people in your life right now. And I even wrote this down on my notes about thinking about what's stopping us from allowing people to come into their life. And I think I remember mentioned it earlier, that there are certain people we want in our lives, right? There is. But God doesn't need them in our lives. And again, not because they're bad people, but I've reflected on in the last couple of weeks. I'm saying, God, you know what? What people in my life are not producing fruit anymore? Same people, same group of friends. Again, I'm not saying let's get rid of all our friends, but I'm saying let's make sure that we have the right people in the right places in our walk with God. Because for whatever reason, think about this, the Apostle Paul had a Timothy in his life. He had a Barnabas in his life. Why? Because he needed those people in his life. He needed people that were always going to have his back. And because we all know this is about Jesus Christ, guys. We know that. Because apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. But I want to remind us again this morning, who's your starting five? And who are you keeping out if God's bringing them in to your life? We're missing a good opportunity, people, if we don't have those people in our lives. And I don't know what the future is going to look like for us, but I just know that the darker this world gets, the lighter the church will get. And people are going to be reaching out to you because there's something different about you. There's a hope in you that doesn't come from the world. There is a difference because you know that we are never going to be alone, that he's always going to be with us, and that we can be there for each other. And that's why I love this fact is that, man, you know what? When I think about the Barnabas in my own life, I can tell you who that is. They're always sending me a text once a week. Hey, praying for you this week, brother. You know how cool it is to get a text on Monday morning like, hey, I'm praying for you? And I feel like God has really kind of allowed me to play that small role in my niece's life, just sending him a text like, hey, you know what? I love you. Thinking about you this morning. And God has brought some people into our lives, specifically our nieces, who love to hang out with us on Sundays. Nothing greater than that. Because of where they're at in their walk with God, God has allowed me and Margie to just be part of their lives right now. And I pray they become that same person to someone else. But if you are not allowing people into your life like that, how are you going to become that person in someone else's life? And I pray this morning that you were just reflecting and thinking about, you know what? Turn to your wife or your husband and say, you know what? We need those people in our lives. Let's not push those people out. Even the young people. Surround yourselves with Barnabases, with Timothys, with some Ruth. But more importantly, surround yourself with some Nathans that are not going to be afraid to confront you when we need to be confronted. Amen? All right, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we are so in awe that we serve an amazing, powerful God. Father, we know, Lord God, that along our journey, that you have positioned people to be part of our own journey. But on the flip side, we need to be that same kind of people to other people as they walk their own journey. So, Father, this morning, I pray that you would just and let the word just fall, Lord God, on fertile ground, that it would grow, Lord God, that we would embrace the challenge, embrace, Lord God, the people that you've positioned to be part of our life, that we would not reject or push people away if you're bringing them to our lives. Father, we need more each other more today than we ever have. And the church is going to rise to the top because people are going to seek people who are seeking you, that are following you and seeing that the joy of the Lord is still going to be our hope. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning. May you just continue as we worship, as we lift up your holy name. Continue to speak to us. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.